Everybody, a little slow tonight, that's all. Welcome to the show, big one tonight. Well, we cut it down, it was 2 hours.
It's so big.
Thank you, Artie. I want to welcome all my guests. We got a ton of them tonight.
Yes, welcome.
We got our first time guest, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Well, it's a long story, but this is actually our year anniversary of being on the air.
Been a good year.
Hi, Art.
We went fast, man.
Yeah.
It's over a year. We're counting the time.
Yeah, counting the credulities.
Sabbatical. That's the right word.
Absolutely. There you go. I've been on quite a few of them.
Another word for
me. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Well, first I want to tell you about what we do. We're City of Angels. We're coming to you from beautiful Hightstown, New Jersey.
What a great place.
I know everybody's saying that. Where's that? But don't ask me because I don't know. Artie knows.
I don't know.
You can call Artie.
First three block town I've ever been to.
Four if you drive a little bit more west.
Three blocks.
www.coaradio.com to listen. It's going to be a good one tonight. We got some fiery guests here.
Yes.
Right?
Let me find out.
No, they're half asleep over here. I want to welcome everybody here. Our first time on the show is Stevie. Welcome, Steve.
Welcome, Stevie. Stevie, you're the newcomer tonight.
Yeah, how about that?
Most
how about
important
that?
Person.
I'm the new guy.
It's good to be there. It's always
the most important person in the room, right?
Right, September you get to pay for dinner, Steve.
See how important you are?
I knew there was a catch. September 10th.
We got a lot of stuff going on. If you want to find out how you can be of service, www.cityofangelsnj.org. Go on there, check it out, and you can hang out with us. How about that, Art?
That'd be great. Yeah.
That definitely works.
Thanks, Art.
September 10th.
September 10th is our walk.
Day which will live in infamy.
That's right. And Artie will be there with bells on.
Yep, we'll be there.
We'll be there. We might be broadcasting. Who knows? That can change from 1 hour to the next, right?
We have to see if we can take this show on the road.
That's right, because it ain't no good here. So go to the website, check it out. I'm going to introduce all my guests. We got Steve and Mike. They were on the show maybe a month ago, maybe?
Yeah, about a month ago.
That was a very informative show. Two guys with a bunch of long-term recovery. We got Steve and Katrina.
That's us.
These guys are just...
We were here last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Back to back.
And now they're back. How about that?
Three Steves?
Yeah,
we do.
That's
we do.
Confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. One Joe.
And of course.
So, you know.
I was a Stevie.
It's like a work. I call Jose like 17 guys.
John, go like this. Stefan.
Stefan.
Stefan. Stevie and Steve.
Well, you can call me Ace because that's my roster.
Ace. Wow. Ace.
Oh,
Ace is the place.
Ace.
And of course, last but not least, we have Joey Combo over here. He was on the show how long ago, Joe?
A couple months. Quite a
at
few.
Least, yeah. It was cold when Joe said, what am I saying? It's still cold.
It's still cold.
Yeah, it was November maybe.
So we're all sitting around the table hoping that you'll call in at 609-241-7103. Stevie will be happy to answer any questions that you have or any of our panel of guests.
Whoever. Steve, Stevie.
Oh, I got to get that. And who? Ace?
Stefan.
Stefan. If you have any questions for our guests, you have to specify. This is for Ace or... quote unquote, Stefan.
Yeah. Steve.
Steve. Or Stevie.
Stevie.
And of course, there's only one Katrina.
There's only one woman here.
There's only one of her anyway.
Well, prefer,
she's
more
the best.
I prefer the hey you method.
That's right. That's right. So we got some eats coming, and we want to share our lives with you tonight. We're really excited about doing this. And of course, my aptly named co-host, Ken MacDonald. I like that.
Mac.
It's a good radio.
You know what? Good to be here, John. What a great life we have in this recovery process.
Man, it's just incredible.
You know, we're just trying to carry the message.
That's right.
Sometimes people call, sometimes they don't.
That's right.
But you know what? We don't really expect anything to happen except what's supposed to happen.
That's right.
And we're really honored to have everybody here. I mean, showing up, people that came on before. I mean, we've invested our time and energy in doing this, and we just want to keep it going. Right, Johnny and Art?
You got it.
Maybe we'll have some who couldn't make it tonight call in.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah,
exactly.
That would be nice.
What's the phone number here again?
609-241-7103. I hope our guests were listening more than you were, Steve. And I'm honored to sit by this guy, Artie. The website? COARadio.com. I'll tell you what, I have that in my sleep because I must have texted 15 people at that site. 609-241-7103.
Run fast, bro.
Is that too fast for you? You got
Hold on, can you speed it up a little bit for me?
Look, Johnny, let's start with Joey, man. He's the veteran. Was here in November, he said.
Yes,
yeah, I think around November.
What's changed for you since November, Joey?
Life's only gotten better.
Better? How has it gotten better? I mean, is you know.
I mean, without me doing what I'm doing, this recovery thing here. You know, I don't think I'd be where I'm at. I mean, I had to fully invest myself in my program, which is Alcoholics Anonymous and 12 steps, and. You know, with me in turn of me doing that, I'm able to be a son to my mother now. And
okay.
You know, and my mom had 5 serious operations last year. 3 of them were cancer related.
So you weren't present when you were using, Joey?
No, okay. I was not. No, I was never there. My father died in 2002. I went out and it was all about me. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't there, never asked my mother once how she felt. It's all about me. You know, poor Joey, pour me another drink. Give me one of these, give me one of them. How about a slap? You know what I mean?
That would fix you.
Yeah.
Wow, well, it's good that you're here, Joey. I'm happy for you, man.
Thank you.
People need to hear that things change over time. I mean, sometimes we don't give ourselves enough time, you know, especially me. I mean, I came in and I wanted things to be okay within a couple of days because I wasn't using anymore, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was such a lie. I mean, today is, you know, things I must earn. That's what time stands for me, you know, personally.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
Because I always thought I was entitled. I didn't have to earn anything, you know
right.
what I mean? I thought people would give to me and make me feel better. And what was it doing? It was killing me. That's what it was doing.
Slowly.
You know, slowly. You're right. So, I mean, I get where you're coming from, and I'm really happy for you. I mean, that's important. So what do you think, Steve? Are you texting or are you listening?
I am actually glad to be in the program and stay in fellowship. I came in basically because I did not have any friends, and I really didn't have a problem.
So you're one of them that didn't have
Jeez,
a problem.
Jeez, that surprised me.
Here's a shocker. The people at home are falling off their chairs right now.
Yeah. It's funny.
You didn't have a problem.
It's
I get it.
Funny how things work out. But, I mean, jails and institutions, you know, in and out of treatment facilities and prisons.
Cool,
and, you know, you have to at some point either step up to the plate and accept help or go on.
Like
to
make
the
a phone
end.
Call.
Yeah,
10 digits, right?
So, or, you know, it's basically, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, you know, whether they picked up or not, whether they would die. And I think a lot of time, you know, we die whether we're, you know, alive or not when we pick up a drink or a drug. We're certainly imprisoned in that disease.
Absolutely. Addiction. Absolutely.
You know, there's this really only one way out that I know of that I've ever had any success with, and that's 12-step program.
Absolutely.
Saying that there's not other avenues for recovery, because there are plenty. You have religious and spiritual, you have secular, you know, you have...
So what was that word you said?
Secular.
Oh, man, you're going there.
Oh, really? Succubus.
You want to look at things that? Like, you know, smart recovery. I mean, there's different types of recovery out there.
What's smart recovery? Will I get a college degree if I do the smart recovery?
If you're smart, you get in recovery.
Get it.
He took it and ran with it. I like that.
I
love that.
And if you're stupid, you won't? I mean, is that the other side of that?
I've
or?
Seen a lot of smart guys fail at this, you know, and it's a basic, I always say the equals MC squared is the 24-hour period. And I'm not talking about 11 hours if you got up at 7, you don't have to watch yourself after 10 o'clock if you're still, no, it's the whole 24 hours of time you're open. The equals MC squared is a 24-hour period, okay? A lot of smart guys come in and cannot understand that. They can't get it. They're too good. They're too smart. I've seen doctors and lawyers, but I've seen the trash man. I've seen, you know, the lawn care specialists, you know, the regular 9-to-5 guy with the lunch pail. They come in and they get the 24-hour period. They understand the one day at a time exercise that we have to go through in order to clear up. You know, you're dealing with subacute. John knows all about that. Give yourself some time to clear up. And then you can delve into these steps. Mm. Which are not as hard and complicated as everybody makes them out to be. You know, oh my God, I have to do. You know,
are you saying that we complicate things?
No, I think people are filled with fear. They're afraid to try.
Steve, I just met you, and you know, I mean, you're telling me I complicate things.
But I know one thing: I don't drink one day at a time.
I like that.
A drug one day at a time, and I have a chance. I had 2 years when I was 29 years old, and I made it to 11 o'clock at night and made a split-second decision to turn my life around forever in a bad way. And I could not get back into the program. 6 months later, I woke from a blackout and was charged with 17 felonies. That's the type of drinking and drugging I did.
Right.
Now, you know, that's not everybody, but that was the case for me. For letting my guard down for just that 1 minute.
Right.
Looked good for a second. I was at the end of the day. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Mm-hmm. You know, I went too far. The money was looking good. You know, usually I was on my way to me. So you have to be on guard.
Yeah, that's yeah.
All. Other than that, I always tell everybody, I said, the only thing you can't do is drink and drug. Other than that, you're promised a happy life. You're pretty much okay. You know,
or what? Sounds good to me. I'll bite.
I mean, is it better than, DUIs and how many accidents, how many drug busts, you know?
Not to mention the loneliness and the fear and all that with
it. And all the health issues, you know.
Right, right.
It took me 10 years to find out how far up my ass my head really was. You know what I mean?
It was looking pretty dark, right?
Yeah. It's like I wanted stuff that wasn't real, and I was like a dog chasing a tail that he didn't have. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to find something to fill that void. And whatever it was, you know, I used it to excess, trying to get that feeling that co-signs that I'm okay, you know. Couldn't find it. Took me a long time. But, yep, one day at a time.
That's it, man. That's all I can handle. I can't handle anymore. I think we were talking about that last week, weren't we, Katrina? And Stevie?
Absolutely.
We were talking about what we can handle.
Right.
You know, if we think too much in the past... Big problems. If we look ahead in the future, we're screwed.
Dr. Bob, back in 1950 at the conference, had it right. Let's keep it simple, not louse it all up. Let's keep it simple. And basically, if you simplify it, and I think this is important now for the opiate addicted members that are coming into AA, you know, you want...
What an epidemic that is, Johnny.
Yeah, and we have to simplify this process because they seem... You know, John, you're in the treatment field, 20 to 24 years old, been through 5-6 treatments already, Okay, so what do we got to do differently with that? Well, we got to maybe simplify it a little bit more. Okay.
Yeah, but how much simplifying do you do from the old school where people stayed sober? You know, like, I know, like, a lot of, like, my first sponsor, you know, she has, like, 30-some years. You know, she's old school. And she taught me old school. You know, like, you make meetings, you get into service, you do the steps, you'll stay sober. And one day at a time, you just don't drink. Under any and all circumstances, you just don't drink. And the people that I sponsor, I teach them that way. Do they all stay sober? Absolutely not. We're not all going to stay sober.
Hey, I give people assignments, and it's almost like, asking them to read is the preface and the foreword.
Absolutely.
Not even the foreword. And they don't call me for 5 days.
I absolutely agree. You know? It's a different
Well,
it's a different
well Steve, thing, maybe like, they're slow readers.
But you really do you know? Have to look at that. Like, how far do you get away from the basics?
Well,
you know, like, they tell you, stay with the don't go back to, or stick with the basics. And you have
right.
a shot.
And again, when I came in 1987, and there were some old timers. Mm-hmm. My sponsor passed away at 53 years of sobriety. Now, he wasn't one of them, but there was a lot of old timers that if you had any kind of co-occurring issue, whether you needed medication or you were a drug
right.
addict, God forbid you were in that meeting.
Right.
Now, today, we have the opiate addicted member who's coming in by the numbers. And what I'm saying is, we don't turn them away. I would never.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't turn away somebody with a mental illness or somebody on medication.
Okay.
Okay. There's still members that would. The primary purpose is to stay sober, help another alcoholic. But, you know, I still want to reach out to anybody that comes through that door
Absolutely.
As a human being.
But that's and that's our job. But here's the thing: what's the best thing for someone? Like that. In other words, by that I mean, okay, I got this gigantic habit, all right, and I don't know where to go because I'm just brand new, my first meeting or whatever. You know, there's a place to be and a place not to be. Now, there's a singleness of purpose for all the fellowships. That's why they have that like that.
The primary purpose.
Exactly.
The singleness
of purpose. So, right. So, and that's
Do
the key.
Do they belong in AA? Probably not, because you're taking the alcoholic, maybe the guy from the club that would never understand a drug addict.
Okay.
Or the, you know, CEO
well,
of the corporation, a lawyer.
The only requirement
is his desire to stop drinking. That's correct. I love that, but and I always try and get my dual addicted sponsees to say, you know, when you say alcohol, let's just keep it simple. And you know, when I say alcohol, it means everything to me.
It means everything to me too.
It shouldn't mean anything.
Myself
right?
as well.
Okay, but a lot of people, they really just never got into the alcohol.
They have to say the alcoholic addict.
And I haven't picked up today, or I haven't used, you know. It's like
yeah, and that's great, but, you know, and to avoid getting into a controversy about it on here, you know. The thing is, we all go where we belong, you know. Now, in AA, they talk about the allergy, okay? Now... And that's a pure and simple type of way. And they love and care just like everybody else. So does the other fellowship that deals with addiction. Pretty general thing that says, okay, we're powerless over our addiction. So it nails it. Now, how many times, and I know people have told me this a lot, I don't know because I'm not there, but they say, well, I have to talk about this or that. So if you see what I mean?
I think people are pretty easy. And in this day and age, I mean, certainly it's not.
Not everywhere, right. But I do. Like, I think with the epidemic, like in my experience, like that's going on, they're actually not even calling it an epidemic anymore. They're calling it a pandemic because it's taking people so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's taking out groups of people.
I just had a sponsor who died 2 weeks ago.
I lost 4 people
yeah, like
in
months.
A week to an overdose.
Yeah, people haven't,
in 1 week.
People that haven't been affected will be. In one way or another.
Right.
They'll have a family member, a friend, a significant.
A co-worker.
Somebody.
Something.
A co-worker. Correct.
Absolutely.
And that it's going to be, you know.
Where 5 years ago, it was such a foreign thing to be a heroin addict.
Right.
To, like, families. You know what I mean? Like, when I got sober, my grandmother was like, oh, you know what I mean? Because I was what I was. And like, you know, like you look at today and it's just such a common thing for my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, to come home and talk to me about heroin use.
I think the bulk of it is they get on the oxys first because they're available, they're cheap, and you're not a heroin addict.
Oxys, Percocet,
right.
And
once they get stuck on them, they find out the heroin's cheaper and they, you know.
That's what happened with me.
Well, look, I mean, I grew up in a family. My parents didn't want the laborers or even my relatives to know that I had a problem.
Well, that is, that's exactly,
you know, it was
the problem.
Like, Kenny, it was Kenny will be okay. He'll be okay.
It's a phase.
You know, I don't even think they said pray for me back then. I mean, I really think that they thought I would be okay.
It would just kind of go away.
Yeah, like it was a phase. He'll grow up. Why never grow up? I mean, like...
That's part of the problem with...
I stayed stuck.
That's part of the problem with, you know, like my experience with being an addict and also, you know, growing up in recovery with other addicts is we have a problem with growing up.
Right.
You know, and taking responsibility for our own lives. Like it says that we couldn't live and enjoy life like other people do, you know. And I know, I mean, I've had that experience. And
right, we were always looking for something different.
Right,
you know, nothing was good enough what was in front of our face.
Well. Always looking for something outside of ourselves to solve the problems that were going on the inside. You know, and
even still, as a recovered addict, alcoholic, whatever you want to call it, I still...
I don't know if you could.
I don't know if you. Myself feel better.
I don't know if you could be.
I find that hard to believe, Katrina.
I don't know if you can be recovered. You know, because recovery for me is a process that I'll be going through my whole life. You know, until I'm never gonna stop learning. Because part of our process is always remain teachable.
Okay, so having a person in long-term recovery.
Correct.
That's
it. Yeah. I mean, because there's always something to learn, and like
absolutely.
The thing about addiction for me is that. It doesn't matter how long you have clean, you can still suffer.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you know, you can have 30 years clean, 15 years clean, 5 days, 30 days, 5 years. And at some point or another, we go through some form of suffering, you know. And with an addict, it's exaggerated. And, you know, we didn't learn the coping skills on how to deal with those feelings, you know, when we were younger, you know. And that's part of... recovery for me is learning how to deal with the feelings that come in, you know, into my head, which, you know, are based in fear, and usually whatever my head tells me is a lie, you know, and it's, you know, it's an addiction to thought, you know.
Right. And they say it's a spiritual disease, you know. We look for materialistic cures to spiritual problems.
Right.
I'm not talking about spiritual being God and deities and all that, you know.
Or but, ghosts.
Right.
Or, yeah.
I found that I had a spirit inside of me.
Sure.
And I was trying to make that spirit happy. And the world told me that if I had enough money, if I had the right woman, if I had the right car, if I had the right drug, if I had this, if I got acceptance, then I could be okay. In the NA program, I learned that I had a spirit that had to learn to be okay in the moment. Just the way things were, life on life's terms, and I could progress from there. But until I make that admission and get okay, make my spirit okay, you know, I wasn't okay. There was nothing was going to make me okay. I was an endless void. I just wanted to stuff shit in there to try to hide it and make me feel okay. You know, life on life's terms was a big kicker too. You know, because when I was growing up, they told me, you know, you're special, you know, the sky's the limit, you know, and all this, and then, you know.
Well, no, there's footprints on the moon, Mike.
The
sky's not the limit.
Right, and I'm, you know, working on trash trucks with maggots falling in my face, you know.
Boom.
Hey, wait, this ain't what they promised me, you know.
No, I hear you.
Like, well, as soon as I got high, hey, okay, I feel it now, you know. Life on life's terms is really important, you know.
Absolutely.
Life isn't easy, you know. It doesn't always go our way, and if everything goes completely right, we're going to end up dead, you know. We're all going to die. We're all terminal, you know.
The day we're born, we're taking
it's a dying process.
We're
start.
Taking
right.
our last breath. We never know when it's going to be our last breath.
Right, so how I dealt with death was, oh, my God, you know, God took the person away from me, you know. The reality is, you know, people die. That's what we all do. And when I started getting a different perspective and looking at things in a new light, I started to ease my spirit and feel okay with where I was.
We got a caller.
What? Yay!
That's a coffee caller.
You know, not switching gears on there or anything, but you know, addicts and alcoholics are big dollar signs.
Hold on a second, I'll put you on the
You got that right.
I try to explain that to the younger one. There's always somebody out there looking to make some money off.
Who's that, Artie?
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, so I've been listening to everyone talk about their different recovery. I'm always curious, as a recovery member of Alcoholics Anonymous, to know what was it that finally turned the corner for you all to make that decision to stick and stay and get sober?
Total desperation for me.
I had nowhere else to go.
I wanted to die.
Gift of desperation.
Yeah, I was going to say, a gift of desperation.
That's what it was, desperation.
Somebody wrote me a check for $1 million.
Did it bounce?
I really wanted to die, and like I prayed to God that I would die, and instead of that, God provided me with an opportunity to go to rehab a few days later, and out of nowhere. It wasn't something that I was asking for. It's not something I was looking for, and it was a moment that saved my life, so... And here I am,
about
6 years on Thursday.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow, that's great. I love hearing that part of the stories of what happened. And I think that that's something that is really instrumental in the rooms when speakers share their stories of you know, what it was like what happened. That what happened part of the story, I always feel like is the magical spiritual moment that sort of captures me when listening to other speakers.
Who are you, by the way?
Yeah, what is your name?
My name is Suzanne.
And Suzanne.
How long have you been in recovery, Suzanne? If you don't mind us
asking. Over 16 years.
Nice.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Well, I meant to say something when it came to a point, at the time that I stopped and that point of desperation, what I didn't realize until later on was that was a complete surrender, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is a big part of my recovery is surrender. And it's not surrender just one time.
Every day.
Surrender on a daily basis to many things. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that is, you know, is part of the power of this process. And it's not easy. It's not easy. And to also understand that surrender doesn't mean to quit.
Right.
And it doesn't mean you're a loser. You know, it means that
right.
The war is over,
and that it's okay to be wrong, and it's okay to feel the way you feel. Because I know there's a lot of people that I talk to about the feelings, because mm-hmm. addiction for me is about exaggerated wants and needs and feelings, and we were never told, or I was never told, and not that it was anybody's fault, that how I was feeling and what I was feeling was okay, and that it was normal, because it is. You know, I have two daughters that grew up with me in recovery, and one thing that I focus on with them, and I try to make them understand, is that when they felt a certain way, whether it was angry, sad, or whatever, that it was okay to feel that way. Mm-hmm. And to have permission to do that kind of gives you a relief, because sometimes we don't understand when we're younger that what we're feeling is normal, because sometimes people don't tell us that,
yeah.
You know? And that's what overwhelms me and other addicts that I know, is the feelings that come up. And you're like, how can I deal with this? Like, you can ask Mike, John, I had a breakdown a few months ago, early in this year, a literal breakdown, and I was clean. Mm-hmm. So addiction, you don't have to be using for this disease to kill you. That's how insidious it is.
It sneaks in.
It sneaks in, and even clean, you can feel like dying.
Absolutely.
And that's scary. Now, recovery and being involved in that process will greatly increase your odds of that not happening. But if it does, if you feel some kind of way and you're not comfortable with it, you know, in recovery, I found that, you know, you have your group, your tribe, your fellowship, your fellow members, your sponsor.
Yeah.
And to never, the thing about, you know, my recovery and what I've learned is that you don't have to do, we don't do it alone.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that triggers my addiction, is that feeling of loneliness and that I'm the only one. Yeah. And that nobody can help me. And I've been there clean.
And the squeaky gear gets the oil. Yeah. You know, you have to squeak up and say, hey, I need help.
You have to squeak up. That's
fine. I like to say that in meetings, though. Like, it's so important. Like, if people don't know who you are and know what you're talking, like, you need to get your name out there. You need to raise your hand and say who you are. Get involved in commitments.
Yeah. Part of my addiction is isolation.
Absolutely.
You know, if you look at the disease of addiction, it is a disease.
Steve, did you have a question for Suzanne?
No, she's gone. But thanks for calling, Suzanne.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thanks, Sue.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But
you're,
like I was saying,
you're probably an amazing woman.
Part of the disease of addiction, is that it's almost like an entity unto itself, but it is part of you. And like, if you can see it that way, it is something that we have to battle. There's symptoms.
Absolutely.
Of a disease. Mm-hmm. An addiction as a disease has its symptoms, and it's isolation,
It lies to us, tells us we're not good enough.
Yeah.
It tells us we're too good.
Yeah. That's Batman calling in right now.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, Commissioner.
That's what goes on in my head,
Right, so that's what we do here. We talk a lot about the solution to the problem. It starts with making a phone call, which is hard to do.
Surrendering.
But I know most of us here, I mean, I've gotten to know. Of course, I just met Steve here a few minutes ago, but, there was a connection when we first talked. I immediately knew that we were on the same page about what we were doing here. And the same thing with Mike and you, Steve, and
you have to have more than just a program of AA.
Yes, sir.
You need a full program of recovery. Yes. Sponsorship's important, service is important, regular attendance is at meetings is important, working the steps with somebody. But you have to have the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You meet people in the fellowship that like the same things that you do, you get involved with the same thing, and you begin to live that life.
I think that's important for the younger people that are coming in, especially with the opiate addiction and stuff like that. Like, show them that they can have fun in recovery.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, my first year sober, I did so much stuff and had so much fun. And I think that just gave me, like, a really good jump in, because I was so afraid that my life was over.
Yeah.
And it was just beginning, and it's just been.
Well, that's the fear. That's the fear of change, the fear of things that are different.
Right, so it's so important to show them and to tell them your experience with being sober and having fun and doing things and being a part of and come early, stay late, the whole thing.
One thing, though.
Getting clean is not fun.
Well, not at first, because it's
early on,
struggle.
Right? Yeah, it's a struggle.
I know.
It's hard.
I was over at a facility on Saturday. I filled in and I chaired the meeting that they have, the presentation for hospitals and institutions. And when you're in these facilities, and a lot of younger people are, they actually get into the facility, if they're lucky, and they create a community in these facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that they really get tight with these people. And then once they leave, you never know what's going to happen. But the thing is, and what I tell them whenever I'm there, because I've done that a lot, and spoken, and not only spoken at facilities, but also held presentations there, is that the community that you create in that facility, you can do that outside the facility.
Yeah.
That's what being in a fellowship is about. It's creating that community, creating... having friends and relationships.
Learning how not to feel alone.
Yeah, and being able to relate. That's why, like, if I never met you before, but I knew you were in recovery, just like we did, because we've met first tonight.
Right.
And we can relate. I know what you've been through, and you know what I've been through, because we've all been there. It's not about what you've actually done. It's how we felt about it, because the feelings are the same. No matter what you did, the feelings are the same. And that's what it's about. I mean, struggling with feeling that stuff and not knowing what to do,
And you got to take risks.
A solution.
You know, I can remember an early recovery, back in the day. I got clean in 1983. I got 33 years clean.
Okay.
In NA. But back then, they didn't send phone lists around. You had to go around and ask people their phone number at the meetings, So you would go up to people and you would meet them. It was
a
strange concept. Yeah. Say hi. You would find someone that had what you wanted, and you would go ask them for their phone number. And then you had to call them, and it seemed like the telephone, it was actually a rotary phone back then. But, you know, you would see the telephone going to call somebody, and it was as big as a Volkswagen Beetle, you know? You would look at it, and, oh, my God, I got to call that person and, you know, dial it and actually learn how to communicate with people and learn how to share. That was part of the process,
yeah.
You know? Being the guy that made the coffee in the meeting, you know? That was part of the process, you know? You were the coffee guy, you know? That was the shit back then.
You were the most important person.
Yes, you were.
And right. You were, like, people that right. don't necessarily... they can't necessarily relate to or understand addiction. It sounds kind of funny. It's like, well, why can't you just make a phone call? Yeah, but
it's
you
so
can't
hard.
Just
yeah, no.
make a phone call.
So
you know,
hard.
It can be very hard. You know, it can be very hard.
One of the things my sponsor had me do was call three people off the phone list every day. And they had to be different people. Mm-hmm. Women, sorry. They had to be different women. And I had to ask them how their day was. Right. And that was it. Just something so simple. Just a simple conversation.
You never did that before, though. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like,
you
want me to ask?
You called the cop. That was it, right? That's what
yeah.
we needed to do. We called whoever
we
wanted our stuff.
I called whoever I needed at that time, and like I didn't realize how bad I needed these women. And like now I have my girls that I sponsor do that, and they look at me the same way I look at my sponsor. Some of them have a really hard time with it, and like I get it. Like it is. Like even today, like I have a hard time calling my sponsor when I know what she's gonna say to me. You know what I mean? And I know what I'm going to hear.
You think you know.
You don't want to, yeah. You it's the fear of hearing the truth. God
right.
forbid that we hear the truth.
Right.
Right. Exactly. I actually had somebody say to me the other night, Ken, myself and another guy, a sponsor, were out of town. And the first thing he said to me when we sat down was, I didn't feel too welcome in there. And I said, well... what did you do? What's the solution to that?
He lived in the feeling.
That was a pretty interesting dinner, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But what I said to him, well, did you reach out? Because like you said, Mike, and I know what it was like to be clean because I got clean in 88. You had to reach out.
Yep.
You had to ask for help. You had to introduce yourself. They didn't send phone lists around. They didn't
Not
do any
all.
Of that. It was, you had to
yeah,
reach
well, it was
out.
Like horse and buggy days then, man.
Stop.
Yeah. Giddy up.
Prior to the meeting, the guy came through the town on a horse. You know what
right.
I mean?
A town crier.
That was Hunchdown, wasn't it?
It must
sure.
have been.
Well, but, look, I mean, let's face it, it's become a lot easier
yeah.
for people to get involved with us. I mean, most meetings we go to, we have an open invitation here every Monday night. This isn't a meeting, but we all get together to be in service, to carry a message to someone who still suffers that we may never even meet.
Right.
Like.
And you know what's important is, and in our area, in the Philadelphia area, there's just not a strong Narcotics Anonymous. So
where?
Where do you live? In Philadelphia area, yeah. in general. In certain areas, yeah, you're strong with meetings, but you just can't go to a meeting for NA like you can for AA in Montgomery County. Just
maybe
like
in Montgomery County. I mean, I know the city has
the city
tons
probably
of meetings.
You're a little better off, but
yeah.
But with what I'm trying to point out is the recovery-oriented community that's involved online. A lot of people can just jump on a website or jump on their smartphone and have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And get the help they need.
Well,
get support.
I know what you're saying, but when we came around, there wasn't that many meetings, period.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you had to travel.
Well, not only right. that, but like I've chaired an area. I chaired Lower Bucks, you know, probably about 10 years ago. And at that time, there was probably 20-some meetings. Now there's like 36 meetings in that area. So there is some growth.
Yeah.
You know, there were times like when Mike and Johnny, I mean, there was one meeting a day every week. So everybody went to the same meeting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now there's just, you know, every day and every night, there's a good handful of meetings for, you know, obviously, you know, AA members and Narcotics Anonymous members.
Right, well, absolutely.
They're out there.
It's
you should
out,
be able to find a meeting within 10 miles, Narcotics Anonymous, within 10 miles of where you're at anywhere. There's really that many. On one last time you look, but.
Yeah, the
and
thing is,
like now, for that matter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you
see 10 miles.
So you got the.
Not in Montgomery
yeah.
County.
Yeah. There's an app, you know. I mean, there's an app, and you can
there's
find
There's an NA app, and then there's AACPA.org.
Yeah,
and like, you can find any AA meeting.
You have the church in the mall in Plymouth meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Been there 35 years.
One of the oldest meetings.
One of the first ones in the area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Other than that, you may have one in Norristown, maybe twice a week. You may have one up towards or two in Pottstown. Now, a lot of the centers, like Glenside, Flowertown, mm-hmm. they're starting to incorporate some NA meetings with some love and sex addictions, and they're also bringing in
SLA,
sex and love addiction. I'm sorry, Nicotine Anonymous. They're doing overeaters. So they're opening their doors to other people that need help.
That's good.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, because it's all an addiction. You know, yeah, Gamblers Anonymous, overeating. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's why I felt that I fit into Narcotics Anonymous very well, is because addiction isn't just about, you know, using the drugs. I mean, it's always going to be about, I mean, you can't, and under any insert, all circumstances, you can't use, but I can use a video game, I can use money, I can use a woman, I can use food, and my behavior will be the same as if it was a drug.
It's just a matter of developing new coping skills, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going through that with my nephew right now.
The voice of reason, Artie. Thank you.
How about caffeine?
Right. Coping skills.
How about my caffeine?
Yeah, Art.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm useful once in a while.
Though. Yeah, that's tough. There are many people that have
Artie,
used...
can we do anything to help you with your nephew?
Actually,
give him a call.
He's doing really good right now.
Okay,
got him into detox. He kicked and screamed for a week. So all I did was reinforce his. How's that working for you?
Yeah.
After 5 days,
that's a good
he
question.
Called me at 2:30 in the morning after he took handfuls of Xanax. Mm. He finally admitted he was back to snorting heroin. Mm. He went to detox, and we have him in a sober home going to IOP right now. Mm. He's in a meeting right this second.
Nice.
Good.
You know what I mean? So it's quite the turnaround. Actually amazed because a week ago he was kicking his dream, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now he's like,
as long as he's receptive to getting help, you have a chance. And if there's any parents out there listening, my number one thing is never give up.
Right.
Never give up. I have a lot of people, they're telling me, you know, that just step off and get out of the way.
Yeah, you know, it comes back to what you had said earlier, the squeaky wheel gets oiled.
Yeah, right.
That goes across life as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? If you don't speak up, people don't know and things don't get resolved.
Well, so can I ask a question to you, Steve? Like, what's the fine line between enabling and never giving up?
Just kind of
good question.
Keep giving them the message until they get it.
Right, because we can only...
Don't co-sign your shit.
And it would depend on where they are in their recovery at the time.
If there is any.
It's my nephew. If this is his first shot, he's going to get a pass compared to somebody who's been at it 20 times, you know?
John, you know the deal. You get these calls. You have one parent, the father. I don't care if he dies or she dies. The mother. Is it okay if I give her money for food?
Yeah.
I know where she's at. I can meet her down there.
I worked for a drug and alcohol rehab.
John, you know, and you're on the phone with one or the other for an hour or two. And you know what? You just want to settle them down.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know how sick that their son or daughter is or family member. Okay? And take a deep breath and think.
Right.
Okay? We don't want to close any doors.
But no matter what.
But you don't want to be giving them cash either. I mean, you know, go meet them, take them for a
both
meal.
Both ends of that spectrum.
Whatever. If you give them cash, you know what it's
buying them for.
I've talked to them.
There's such a fine line there.
Well, there is. And what happens is, and you know it because you do it, there's two ends of the spectrum there. One says, I don't care if he dies, okay? Which is... They're not telling the truth. They do care.
Because they're the parents that you call.
They're just frustrated.
Right.
Then you have the other end of it, which they'll keep doing and doing and doing.
You're right.
So either way, now, by the time they call me or you or Katrina,
right.
By the time that happens, they had enough of all of it. And then they say... And I've talked to more parents probably than you know, the ones who were addicts.
I do, too.
You
know, I absolutely talk to the parents more than addicts.
And, you know, the first thing I tell them, you know, it's a real, and this is the majority of people that call me, it's a real nonchalant kind of attitude toward recovery. Oh, he said he'll go next Friday. Well, today's Monday.
Be ready then.
Yeah. Have fun waiting for that one.
Yo, making plans to go.
You know what? Those are parents that are new to this and don't know the game yet. You know what I mean?
How can I talk to him?
Well, he has a wedding on Saturday. I want
to talk to him. And even if he's high and he gets on, I want to talk to him.
Absolutely.
I want to talk to her and see where she's at or he's at. Because, you know, what you want to do is keep the door open for treatment, for detox, to be able to maybe give it another try. Because a lot of them have been through it now 3, 4, 5 times. And you just want to keep going. You can't stop. But you can't keep going down with the money. You can't keep shutting the door and changing the locks. So there's, you know, you got to understand it. My thing is, if you're a parent or a significant other, a loved one, a husband, a wife, you've got to go to your own meetings, okay?
Absolutely. I think that's so imperative. And I tell, like, when I'm talking to a parent, they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm like, have you heard of Al-Anon? Have you heard of Nar-Anon? I said, you have a 12-step fellowship for you, too. And it's so important to hear other parents that have gone through this.
The first response.
I talk to.
You too.
Get help yourself.
I get inspired,
the first response. You know
so
what I get?
When I hear the parents are putting in work for themselves, I'm like, yes.
You know what I get?
That's a miracle.
This is what
Big
I get.
Top in South Jersey.
What is it?
Big
We're
top.
Not endorsing any.
But it's an adolescent unit. And three mothers that have buried their sons all within a month, and they're all buried next to each other.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? They raised the money to expand this treatment facility for adolescents and build the school up a little bit bigger. Like, tell me that can't inspire. I was at the groundbreaking. I was at the ribbon cutting for the opening. That's inspiration. That makes you want to go out and do twice as much. Here they are. You know.
But, Steve, most people... And this is my experience, what I get. The families, first of all, they need help. And the first thing I get is, oh, I don't have the problem, he does. Mm-hmm. So the education piece is the biggest thing that we can do.
Yeah, and that's what before. We do, like with the Sunday Breakfast Club, you know, at City of Angels.
Right.
It's not Nar-Anon. It is just a place where
support.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're in crisis right now. You know what I mean? Your kid's using. He's on the streets of Camden. You don't know what to do. You're at your wit's end. That's the place to come and get sound advice. We're going to tell you to go talk. You know what I mean? You need to work on you before you can help anybody else. And you can't help your child.
Right. It's always been my advice, too, that you don't try to get your relatives clean. You are the worst person.
He's my nephew, and I'm a drug warrior, but I can't help him.
You should... You should accommodate him by getting people who can help him.
And that's what I did. All I did was facilitate.
You never know. I mean, I helped my brother. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he was, you know, ex-Marine, jarhead to the max, you know. And, like, nobody said, you're ever going to get through to him. But one day, when he was ready, he came to me.
That's why you don't give up on it. That's exactly right.
But the thing is, he was ready.
Right.
You have to wait. That person
is
ready.
Right, and just be the example until they're ready. That's a big part of it.
When we were talking about that, because, you know, it's like you can only carry the message. You can't carry the addict, you know. And, like, I really feel fortunate that, you know, in a lot of ways that I was in recovery while my daughters were, you know, very young and then growing up. Because I talked to them and I was very honest with them about the way things are, especially when it comes to addiction and because I knew I was in recovery. Like, I didn't have that when I was growing up.
Right.
Because, and even parents to this day are afraid to approach their children about that because they don't want to think that there's a problem, quote unquote.
Right.
And there doesn't have to be a problem for you to be honest with your children and tell them that it's okay to feel the way you feel. You know, I mean, that's the thing with my daughters. Like, I was straight up honest with them about, you know, recovery and what can happen. And they kind of had a healthy fear.
Right.
You know, with their experience in recovery with me and, you know, experience with their mother and, you know, the awareness is what's important, you know.
Right.
And it's okay to admit that you may have a problem. It's not the end of the world, you know, and that's where you get that. You know, that's when you can start getting help is when you can admit you have a problem and you surrender the fact that you need help. You know?
I love that you say that about being the addict parent, like, because... You know, I have two daughters myself, and, like, he has a son, and, like, I'm really honest. Like, I lost somebody 4 years ago, though. I lost my younger daughter's father to this disease. So, like, my older daughter has seen it. Her father's in jail now, you know? Like, so she sees it. And, like, not that that's going to stop her from being an addict. You know what I mean? But it's going to bring her awareness, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't tell her to hide her feelings. We're in therapy together, and she lets it all out, you know? And, like, we do it in a very healthy way, like you said. Like, it's so important just to listen.
Yeah.
And be there. And be available.
Well, that's it. Be
we
there.
Lived a lie long enough.
Yeah.
Time to be
like,
honest.
I have no reason Absolutely. To hide anything from my kid. If it's
right.
going to save her life or save one of her friends' lives, and, like, one of her friends wants to come to me and they know that they can,
yeah.
I want that.
Right.
Well,
you said it right. And, like, being there, I learned early on that, you know, and that's what, you know, at least I know my daughters want, and kids for the most part, they want to know that they're being, excuse me, they want to know that they're being listened to. You don't even have to say a word. All you need to do is be able to listen and
right.
be right there.
Be present.
Not be on the phone,
not
looking away, but right there.
Yeah.
You know, not just physically, you know.
Because we did that for 7 years. Well, I thought I was like the best mom in the world.
I gotta go cop.
You know?
We gotta break that. That's part of breaking one of the chains, one of the, you know, the chains of addiction, that it's like just, you know, raising your kid and just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, being present, man. I got
being
it. What's
present,
going on
yeah.
with you, Stevie?
You know, I'm just thinking about that a little bit too, and that's key. You know, like, I try and talk with my son and actually talk about his feelings and get to the root of it, because I spent so many years stuffing, even as a child,
yeah,
before I picked
right.
up for the first time. You know what I mean? It was stuffing those feelings,
Correct.
Stuffing those feelings.
Yeah.
And then when I found the magic alcohol and drugs, you know,
Boom.
That was, yeah,
yeah,
that was my way to deal with all those feelings and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of that still comes up. And I had a lot going on as well, too, you know, in sobriety. I had a lot of challenges in sobriety myself,
yeah.
too, and had to
life,
seek some outside
life
help for some PTSD
yeah.
issues and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know,
oh, yeah.
it came to that point where I was having some breakdowns and stuff mm-hmm. with a couple years sober. And, you know, that was definitely challenging, mm-hmm. you know. And, like, Suzanne had called in, and I was thinking about it because, you know, like, a big thing for me recently, you know, like, my bottom was going from being a correctional officer for over 5 years in the state system to being incarcerated in that same state system.
Yeah.
And then dealing with all that. Exactly.
If you need an example of what addiction can do.
Eating and sleep for
exactly.
And, like, I'm still working through a lot of it because anybody that's been locked up can, you know, my stay was miserable. My stay was miserable. But that's what I needed. You know, I went to jail, then I went to the RA, you know, to the hold, to the jail inside the jail. And then, like, that's where it actually really happened. Like, when my knees hit that cold concrete floor and I cried out to God for help, you know, like, that's when things started to change a little bit.
Pain can be a great motivator, that's for sure.
And
it's the best motivator.
And absolutely. And now I'm finally to the point where, you know, I'm starting to get involved with the prison committee and things of that nature. And,
nice.
You know, yesterday I went to this workshop at the Chester County Youth Detention Center, and that was the first time I set foot back in a facility. And it was difficult. You know, those block walls and stainless steel
mm-hmm.
toilets
yeah.
and all that, it brought a lot back up.
I'm
here.
Sure.
It really did. But to be able to speak about my experience of how, you know, the meetings helped me on the inside, because that was the only place I felt safe in that facility, the only place.
Right.
When
it's
I was in that room for an hour,
too.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's my turn to sort of, you know, turn that back, you know, get back to that and get in service as much as I can with that. So.
Right, just stopping using isn't enough.
Yeah.
That's the first part.
Exactly.
Right.
But there's a lot that has to be dealt with after that, and
Absolutely.
That's what the programs provide you, the ability to reacclimate to a good life,
Absolutely.
If you want to. You know, you don't have to. You could come in here and just not use and be miserable until you can't stand it anymore to use again. But Suzanne asked on the phone, what got you here, you know? The bottom line is my best thinking got me here.
Exactly.
My best thinking brought me to a point so low in life that I had nowhere else to go. So I had to give up my way of thinking, and that was hard to do.
And you couldn't tell me at the time that it wasn't.
You couldn't tell me at the time that it wasn't the perfect way to think, right? Because I knew.
Joey, how you doing in back in that corner?
Hey, I'm doing all right. You know what I mean? I'm just listening to what everybody's got to say, you know. And I was listening about, you know, for me, what keeps me involved is getting more and more involved in service. I mean, for me, in the AA side of this, you know, I'm an IGR. I'm a member of a couple different home groups.
What's that stand for, Joe?
What's that? IGR is intergroup rep.
Intergroup rep. Okay.
Okay.
That's a big responsibility.
It is. It's an awesome responsibility. That's great.
And I've also gotten involved with the Unity Committee, which basically takes the 12 different branches of CEPIA, the different branches of different legs of service you can do. Takes to any new group that wants to hear about what we do down at CEPIA. And what I would do is go there and explain it to everybody. And I have just took over that for the Bucks County area. And I've yet to present one yet, but I am coming up on one of these Sundays.
Nice.
Greater Levittown group would like one.
Should we all come and offer you some support, Joey?
Absolutely.
And in service, you're meeting people who are serious about their recovery.
Exactly.
Yes, I am, and I'm meeting new people.
Right.
And
service.
Being on the Unity Committee, you know what I mean? I go to different groups that I've never been to before. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's always someplace different. I'm always meeting new people. And
broadening the base, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I'm meeting and I'm staying connected. And, you know, and it's just awesome. You know what I mean? It's just a new aspect in life. Something I'm still getting new to after 3 years of sobriety. It's a new thing every day. I mean, I'm running across something different. You know what I mean? Different person or somebody could have been in a situation that I was in when I was still out there. You know what I mean? And that's what it was. And you know, anytime I'm asked to be in service, I'm in service. That's the only way I know how to do it. And along with the 12 steps and sponsorship.
Could I talk about when I met you?
Absolutely.
And you don't mind that?
Nah.
I thought you were going to talk about the Flyers game.
No.
Did you and Joey went?
They
He's
lost.
Got the Flyers shirt on.
Yeah.
What was it?
Anybody who brought coffee? Anybody bring coffee?
Yeah, the Arctic game.
I
drank
mine.
Yeah. How about an NHL update? The Lightning lead the series 1-0 over the Penguins, and that's, the Sharks lost.
That's our resident sports guy over there.
Were you on the intergroup? But were you on the committee for the 75th anniversary in Philadelphia? Last year.
I am. Hell yeah!
There we go, Artie.
It's over. It's over, Steve. They lost.
I'm the IGR.
My man.
For the Bucks County area.
Oh, okay.
For the Greater Levittown group, the 12 Keys.
Hockey family. I mean, my son's a Sharks fan. We all pick a team, so I'll sit here and talk hockey, but. Certainly, there's a lot of hockey players that I know that are in.
Well,
I
don't know.
I just bought season tickets for next year.
I met Joey. He walked into a recovery house that I was affiliated with at the time. And I had to kind of talk to him every other day.
He had all the answers?
Oh, the answers. But anyway, Joey was a little high-strung. And he went after somebody with some knives and stuff. You know, and I remember talking to him that day because I remember
his
when
his first
he was
day in,
and
he did that? Second
no,
day?
No, after he was there for a while.
Oh.
And
wasn't practicing practicing nothing.
I said, Joe, you can't do that. You can't exhibit that behavior here. I said, there's only so much I can do for you. You're throwing knives at people, you got to go. And it broke my heart to see him have to leave. But then, you know, he finished up his run. Right?
Yeah. There's always the knife thrower at the carnival. You could always
He's got a job, Steve. Don't worry about it.
Always
looking.
Yeah.
Looking out for my fellow AA guy.
But anyhow, he came back, and here he is now, and you know the miracle continues.
Yes.
It's awesome to see that.
Service, baby, service.
Like he was saying though, like he was saying about the IGR position. Like I did GSR, which is General Service Rep.
I did that also.
Yeah,
GSR, right?
Yeah, GSR. I did that for 2 years. I was a secretary and everything. And I got involved in it with, like, 4 months sober. And I don't know how I got involved in it. They pushed me through it, into it. And, like, best thing that could ever happen, I got to know everybody mm-hmm. in my fellowship.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I got to know people. And still today, like, people know me from that position, you know? Like, I go picnics and this, that, and they're all, hi, hi.
Did you ever go to the GSR convention?
I did, on a voting year, too. Yeah. Oh, I sat for that's 11 hours, I think.
I have a great story. World Service Conference. About a GSR convention.
Do we have to hear one of your stories? Do we have to hear personal stories tonight?
My sponsor early on told me to take something home with me from every meeting, and that's how I met my wife. We're not having any luck having children. We did went out for a few years and got married, and we're still a sober married couple. And we went to Split Rock. This is, I guess, 9 years ago now. And the fertility guy said we could not have children. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't going to work. We're going to stop. And I said, you know what? We have a lot of people praying for us, and just not think about it. We went up to Split Rock. Friday night, she got sick. We thought it was the poop. Saturday, again, maybe we should go home. I'm sick again. She got better. Ate again. Oh, that food. Maybe it was the food last night, Sunday. So we left early Sunday. She got home. Sunday night, got sick again. Monday, I said, go take one of the tests. Just sure enough, she was pregnant. So, you know, there's nothing.
Wow.
There's your convention baby.
He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be in service one of these. He's got the team. Believe
me.
Used to that about 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's more like get it!
Here, I thought you were going to roll it into the par 73 course in Split Rock.
I played it that
day. Oh, let me find out.
They got a par 6.
It was in November.
It's like 700 yards.
That's a little much for me.
No, it wasn't. It was 7 1/4.
Oh, my God.
So here we are. All right, we're doing, we're back in the saddle, huh?
Back in the saddle. What's the phone number here, John? 609-241-7103.
Hold on.
609-241-7103. Call in now.
Yeah, Steve's waiting to talk to you because nobody else is listening to him. Just joking. Yeah, wherever that is. I don't know where that is. Mike drove. Mike was kind enough to drive here.
I don't know. I was telling there's 3 houses in that county.
Weather forecast.
I don't know. I already gave a better and a more accurate description of Hightstown. They said there's 4 blocks in Hightstown.
There is if you go west.
8 houses
we're
if you went the other
man.
Direction.
Wrong again.
We got dogs. Here's a
bring it, man.
95, I picked up a trick. Right. For 3 years, I was determined.
Say
never
bye,
to...
everyone. Say bye.
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 For 3 years, determined never to go back to Alcoholics Anonymous again. I was not going to go to AA. I was done with the 12 steps. I had 2 years, went out, went to penitentiary, came out, got 5 years under my belt, picked up. That was it. Off the races. Never again. Don't try and drink in the area where you got sober either, because they come out of the woodwork. So I had to move away, and I hid out and I won the golf course caddying. And gentleman I'm caddying for is a CEO of a big corporation, big company with plants in North Carolina, Mexico, and China. And he was good pay, and I cleaned up well to go carry his golf bag. And he sort of liked me for some reason or another. We were on the 15th hole one day. And I think I had just got arrested for possession of heroin and cocaine and wild the week before. So I was aching a little. And he says to me on the 15th hole, Steve, are you a friend of Bill W's? And I looked at him and I said, we had been, but we haven't been talking lately. And he took me to a meeting that night. And it set the wheels in motion. And what happened from there was, a couple of court appearances, and that next 6 months, I kept going back. Even though I would drink every 7 or 14 days, I would continue to go and just continue to share. I thought my name was Welcome Back Steve, but, I at one point, I was getting well. You know how you feel better after 2 weeks,
yeah,
3 weeks?
Yeah,
and I went to a beginner's meeting. And
of course, we all remember that.
I had 3 weeks, and I was feeling good.
Let's
I went to a
well.
Beginner's meeting. And I met a girl with 6 days, and we were in love.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Love at first sight. I like that. Love at first sight.
Yeah. And I'm drinking the cooking wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing great. You
know? Yeah.
And it was going to be happily ever after, right?
Thank God I listened to my sponsor. I didn't get involved, I didn't get involved until after a year. Would have been all kinds of hell going on.
It's amazing what our head will tell us, but thank God I hung in there long enough to one day, you know, let the miracle happen. And nobody told me not to come back. You know, that was the most important thing.
Yeah.
Keep coming back.
I did.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, a lot of the times, you know, I know when I first came in, and I know experience from other people that I've heard, is that, you know, you see a lot of good things happening in other people's lives because they're participating in their own recovery, and it's, you know, it's important to give yourself a chance to get that same experience. Too many people leave way too early because they're like,
right,
you know, they don't feel it.
Just wait 5 minutes.
But you will. Yeah,
five minutes.
Don't leave before the miracle happens.
Yeah, get a slap.
That was really big for me because it's important for you to stick around so that you can get your own experience of hope.
Yeah.
And then you'll know because it happens all around, and it will happen, but don't, you know,
you
too
have
many
this
people.
All you need is one experience.
Right.
Just one.
Yeah.
One
experience that opens up your eyes to maybe this does work.
Yeah.
You know?
It gets like a small spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
I mean, because those, it doesn't just happen one time. You know, you can have many spiritual awakenings. I mean, the 12th step is like we've had, you know, a spiritual awakening as a result of these
steps.
But you can have many spiritual awakenings.
Absolutely.
And awarenesses.
Right, and I think
know.
Once you're aware of that first one,
yeah,
you see them so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
You know
well,
what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it starts like this, like,
you're
phenomenal
effect.
There
were, like, unicorns
effect.
Before
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You didn't believe they existed.
Your right. spiritual vision starts to get a little bit bigger when that stuff happens and you're able to pay attention. And
right.
that's what it is about, paying attention.
I think you
being
do
aware.
Have to have, even no matter how small or how big, some sort of spiritual awakening for your continuous
practice. Oh, yeah, I mean...
You
well, that's
to,
why it's so important
yeah.
to be at meetings, because this, the Nut Factory, tells me things that are complete opposite.
He was pointing to his brain as he was saying that.
Yeah, well, they know
just
what I'm talking
about. Just in case you can't see.
Yeah.
Right, on the radio.
Yeah.
Can you see us?
Well,
I thought
if I'm
that
saying
was,
that, what do they think
the
I'm talking about?
So, it's...
What do they think I was going?
Are you saying it's... Are you saying it's...
Absolutely.
Really?
You have an illness that centers in your mind.
As he's touching his head.
And the thing is, my mind does not remember the bad times.
Right.
No. I remember.
No,
I do.
That's the most sucking thing I ever did.
Yeah.
I used to hate people that had blackouts because I used to
remember
every goddamn thing I did.
Here.
And I couldn't stop. You know, and I knew I was going to wake up the next day having to remember everything. I remember it all.
Well, here's the thing. They talk about how people can think about how bad it was and that stopping them from picking up.
No.
That's impossible. That can't happen. It just doesn't happen. Because our mind's going to remember. Now, I'm in that mode. I'm ready to go. My mind isn't going to tell me. Come on, you were in a bandominium, you know,
right.
shooting dope by candlelight. Come
right.
on, do you remember that? It's not going to happen.
No.
It's going to tell me, man, that one's going to be so beautiful.
Right. Exactly.
And that's why when people say, well, I got this thought and I got rid of it. Well, what did you do with it? I don't know. I got to get on the phone and call somebody.
Right.
So you never guess what I was just thinking. You know, I want to do it again. I just want one. I'm only going to do one. You know that, right?
I didn't know there was another way. You know, I didn't know there was
right.
something you could do with
exactly.
that thought.
Right.
I didn't,
right.
Well, when I came into a meeting the first time and this girl said, you know, we have a choice whether or not we want to use, you know, I looked at her like she had three heads.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean you got a choice? There was never a choice.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. There wasn't.
There wasn't.
Well,
it's what I had
exists.
To do.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
I had the same. It's like when I was in a facility, somebody really, a statement that an H&I presentation came in and it was basically like, you know what? You don't have to use.
Mm.
And when they said that, I was like, really?
That's how
astounding it was because
yeah.
I didn't know that I didn't have to. You know, that's how messed up and deep into it I was that kind of a statement just shocked me. And I was like, really? I don't have to use.
And that's when I somebody said that to me too, a counselor or something. She's like, you'll never have to feel like this again.
Yeah.
You never have to use again. And I was like,
what?
Huh. Well, and then I cried for the next 6 years.
But it felt good, didn't it?
It feels good every time I cry. I feel better.
We were talking about spiritual awakenings, and like, you know, sometimes you can say that like that first surrender when you decide, or when the decision has been made to surrender, is almost like a spiritual awakening.
Absolutely.
In itself. You just don't know it at the time, you know.
And then when you look back at it, you're like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, so many things have to occur, you know, and it's not just blind luck, it's not just coincidence, you know, there is, and that's the only way that I can continue on, you know, it's almost like I'm grateful that I am not in control, you know, because that whole illusion of control, it's a lot of responsibility, and I screw it up every time, you know, it's nice to know that there's something other than me that's bigger and greater.
Yeah.
And it has my best interest at heart. And sometimes that's John, that could be Mike or Ken or anybody in this room or a meeting. You know, it could be anything. Oh, you know, it's about remaining open-minded about it, you know.
I want to talk a little, too, about spiritual awakening.
Yeah, Mike's got some good stuff about spiritual
awakening.
When
I was growing up, you know, it wasn't cool to believe in spirits, you know. It's like, you know, Casper the Friendly Frickin' Ghost, you know. It wasn't cool to believe, you know, the sun god and the, you know. Like, none of it, when I was growing up, it wasn't real. And religion, forget religion. I really don't like religion. And that's not what it's about. You know, for me, spiritual awakening, and when I had it, I was watching the Discovery Channel. And they did this special on people who died on the operating room table. Mm-hmm. And while they were dead, flatlined, you know, they were, when it came to back to life, they were able to describe people that came into the room while they were dead, and you know, the you know, a scar on the surgeon's head who they had never met before, you know, and stuff like that. Like, you know, and for me, it clicked, because I never really felt like a part of the world, because I never really acknowledged that I had a spirit inside of me. And you know what happens to me when I die? I don't know. You know, I could become a cockroach. Yeah, that could be my next thing in life. I'll never know. But I believing that I had a spirit, and that's what the problem was, that I was ignoring that inside of me. You know, back then in the day, we used to talk a lot about the child within, you know. There was stuff that happened to me when I was a little kid, you know, where my spirit was hurt, and, you know, I was told to just shut up and go away, you know. And I didn't know how to process that, so I just stuffed it down until it became a void, and I had to fill that void with something, you know. And it ended up being whatever I could find, and lots of it, you know. It became an endless pit. So the spiritual awakening thing, for me, it's about an awakening of the spirit, you know. Like, I believe there's a God. He's like a spirit broker, you know. He's like, you know, shifting them around and doing all kind of stuff, and, you know, like Jim Carrey with the yellow post-it notes, you know. You know,
such a good way to look at it.
Right, but
with
I don't
mask.
Have to get religious, because I don't really believe in religion.
I don't care
what happened 2,000 years ago, you know. Right. They thought the world was flat back then, you know, and I thought I had to get with that. And my whole life, they told me, you know, you're Catholic, and I wasn't. You
know? I think that's what a lot of us have, like, this misconception when we come into the roots.
You told me I was a
whether
German,
it be AANA, you know, like, you hear the word God and you automatically think, I don't.
People shut down.
This ain't for me.
Yeah, like,
right.
This isn't for me, because I don't believe in all that, you know, and it's not about that. It's about a spiritual principle.
My spirit.
It's my spirit. It's my higher power. Like, my higher power just, like, sits with me, and I'm just like, yo, dude. Like, come on. Like,
right.
What is going on now? Like,
mine's
what?
A comedian.
Give
know?
Him an amen.
Get a kick out of it.
But, like, things, like, consecutive. It's like, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, really? Like, okay, take a breather. Like, it's not all at once, you know? Like, and these are the conversations, and these are my prayers, you know? I'm like, that's what I tell.
Yeah, that's funny, because
girls.
Mike and I kind of joke around, because sometimes when things occur in your life and you know, you do have some, you are in tune a little bit with your spirit, and you get one of these events in your life, and you just kind of look up and go, really, dude?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. And it's like,
yeah, you know, I hear you. I get it.
You know, and I also, what's important for me, too, is to acknowledge the good things that go on in your life. Because not only do we need to acknowledge, like, what is not gone on good and tell people how we got through it, but I acknowledge the things that are good, because that's important. They should be acknowledged. Like, and I'm grateful for all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, like, if I make... if I go from one destination to the next and I make all green lights, I look up and I'm like, yo, thanks, dude. You know, I mean, little things, when you get in touch with your spirit, you start to see those things. And gratitude is an important spiritual principle. It's one of the most important. So is humility. They even say in our literature that humility is as important to us for our spirit as food and water is to our bodies. That's pretty important. So, you know, trying to focus on those things and practicing those principles, like,
you know, at
any given moment can take you right out of whatever you were in.
But even by practicing all those principles, it just makes your life a little bit more peaceful.
It does.
Right, and like, especially like when you're even at work. You know, like,
if I do I hear we're all looking for peace these days?
Yeah. P-E-A-S, world peace.
I think we've all found it already.
Yeah.
Cool,
it's here.
You know, like, when I want to bite my boss's head off because she's, you know, the way she is, and, like, I can sit back and be like, all right.
Peace.
Take a look at the big picture. Yeah. You know, like, what are the repercussions? And, like, I can actually sit back and be like, all right, killer kindness instead. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, that's my tip.
Well, you know what else is, like, one of the...
Karma.
A real good...
Yeah, exactly.
Goes around, comes around.
Karma is part of its principles, I'm telling you.
One of the gifts that I've learned, you know, and it is a gift, because I see so many people in and out of recovery, even in recovery, who will live in a moment that occurred in the day, right? Something bad happened. Some guy cut me off in traffic, and 3 hours later, they're still talking about it, still living in that. And one of the gifts of recovery for me is to learn to, like, let that go. Like, if somebody's to cut me off in traffic and I feel, you know, well, that guy was an a-hole, but then after that, I'm done with it. Then I move on.
Anybody here ever experienced road rage in recovery?
I used to hit him.
I've actually have the experience of somebody, you know, reacting that way towards me. I'm not.
Well, let
me
tell you.
Up like that anymore. I just don't.
There's more to it than that.
Let me tell you what happened to a friend of mine that I was playing golf with yesterday. Talk about road rage.
What, the guy you were with?
Yeah, left the course, had a great day. Little cold, we all finished, had a really great time.
Golf, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's driving home, gets into a road rage thing.
Oh, we got a call.
I'll get back to this. Go ahead, Artie.
Yeah, road rage is
solid.
Did you call me on the air?
Hey! Dave's not here.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's
Kel.
Hi,
how you doing?
Hi, Kel. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
What's going
on? My question is that I struggle with patience and tolerance.
What's that? Say that again.
I'm struggling with patience and tolerance.
Patience and tolerance.
Patience and tolerance.
What's that?
Patience comes to those who wait. I learned that from a Chinese fortune.
Patience and tolerance are a byproduct of self-acceptance.
Well, I'm having trouble with acceptance too. I mean, you know, it's been a while. I'm not struggling with a drink or a drug today. I mean, just acceptance and tolerance and patience of others in my life.
Open up the Alcoholics Anonymous book, the big book, that big blue book, and open up to page 417.
Hey, Carol, how long are you sober? How many years do you have? I have a feeling you have a long sober. 15? I'm glad you called.
It's good to hear that someone with 15 years sober still struggles with patience and tolerance. Mm-hmm. I struggle with that. Like,
I
big time, especially with my children.
Hey, we were just talking about humility, you know what I mean? Who's
anytime,
with real
Carol,
I mean,
this is John. Anytime I'm struggling with something like that, it's because I'm thinking about myself too much. And if I get out of myself and I make a phone call to someone who's not doing as well as I am.
But you know what? I'm not really thinking of myself. And it's rare that I do that. I do think of others, and I do try and help others. But
when they find that brothers and then they don't take the suggestions that you suggest, then it becomes, you know, they turn around and do what they want to do anyway. So why the hell are they even asking me? So the only thing that we can do is be an example, you know, and set that example. And when they're ready, they'll do the work.
Hold on, pain ends.
You have to have the acceptance. That's what you have to have acceptance of. You know, like I have spots.
That's it. Hey, Carol, we have somebody here to throw his knives.
They can tell you about patience.
They can teach all of that.
Hey, Steve, are you the one throwing the knives?
Steve? No, that
was Joe. That's Joe. That's Joe C. At your services.
Steve.
Yeah, we got three Steves on the show tonight.
My wife has a good way of putting it. If you made a bar graph, like one of those Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, and one of them was expectations, and one of them was reality, everything in between there is going to be pain. All right. How you're expecting it to be and how it really is, you know, everything in that gap between them is going to be pain. So maybe the patience, if you've been waiting for something to happen, it's not going to happen. Could that be part of it?
Well, sometime.
Well, you got another day in, Carol.
I did.
Anything else you wanted to talk to us about?
No. See you in the morning.
See you in the morning, people.
Thanks for calling, Carol. Well, that was really nice. I mean, patience and tolerance. I mean, that's, you know, that's a difficult thing. That's why we were talking earlier. I mean,
sounds like a control issue.
Yeah, we can only handle what, you know, we're given in one day. You know what I mean?
Well, personalities.
When she was mentioning, it sounded like she was mentioning, you know, working with sponsors or whatever it was with other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing you can do is provide the information, and what that person does with it is none of your business.
Yep.
Right. And that's it.
You can carry the message.
You know, yeah. I mean, what else can you do?
Carry the message. Be the message.
And now, part of raising my daughters is direct and guide, not control and push.
I totally understand what she was saying because.
Oh, it can be frustrating.
I'm dealing with something now where one of my daughters has moved back in. She's 33.
God bless you.
And you know what? It's not easy. Because guess what? I love her, but I don't like her all the time. Okay? So it's very, very difficult.
We can all relate to that, right?
Yeah. And it brings out a little bit of me that's not very lovable.
We love
her. I mean, there's a part of me that everybody in this room would be like, man, you know, like, I'm not that likable when I get like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey, you know, I'm just getting like to the point where like, you know, I took care. But sometimes when you're living with somebody or whatever your higher power throws your way,
you know what I mean?
Right. That could be a problem too in recovery when you get a bunch of years clean and you turn into an apparent nice guy. Yeah. You know, the monster's still in there.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
You know, you're not always going
to
be.
They start treating me, you know, trying to take advantage of me because I'm a nice guy, and it's like, wait, you don't know who I am, do you?
Right.
Yeah. You don't know what I'm capable of doing to you.
No idea.
Right.
Well, I wanted to talk about what you said about the spirit and an awakening, and we do this show because of the people dying from heroin overdoses.
That's right.
And we're here to help. Before I got clean, I didn't buy into any of that either. Right. And I was a Catholic because I was told I was a Catholic. Mm-hmm. I quietly disbelieved everything they told me. I couldn't share that because I would have been ostracized for that. So the awakening, I'd rather have a physical ailment than a spiritual ailment any day because that spiritual, I was dead spiritually. And the spiritual world is invisible. You can't see it. Can't touch it. It's not tangible. But you can see the results.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm. Yep. So that's why it's so important to talk about this thing being internal. You're shooting dope right now, presently, if you're shooting dope right now, that's not the problem. You might think it is, or maybe you don't think it's a problem. But the problem is, what's wrong with me? Why do I have to screw my life up to do this?
Why am I coping that way?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. What's amiss inside of me that I have to reach out there and trust somebody that I don't really like? I got to give them my money and hope I don't get beat because, you know, I just robbed 3 apartments and I got $47 and I'm praying that I don't get beat. So that's the spiritual sickness. And I don't think any of us ever knew that before we got here.
You know what I mean? How would you know?
Some people might. I mean, if they're on a spiritual track or some shit like that.
Usually people that are like that are probably not shooting heroin. You know, if you think about it. But
hey,
it
I have a sponsee. He's 6'7". He's got 5 months. And he's telling me he did not. He was the only one that didn't. Yeah. No,
then
he had
what?
A problem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to tell him, what do you mean you didn't know? And then I'm looking at him. He's 6'7". I'm like, okay, if you didn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why, see, here's the thing. That invisible thing guides us to the rooms. Now, you could say, call it what you want, but I believe that all of us who are still alive today and clean followed that same journey. But
that's
none
right.
of us, I don't think any of us, when it's happening, know.
Nope.
You know, because I remember sitting in a meeting one night and saying, when is this stuff going to happen for me like it happened for that guy or that girl? When's it going to happen for me?
Right.
And it was already going on.
It's going on. Yeah. That's why you need sponsorship. I always tell people you need the sponsorship for people to tell you where you've been and where you were at.
That's right, man.
So they know. So you know.
Well, also
never
that,
alone.
That,
you can
to
see
to
your
also
growth.
Reinforce
never
to
again.
You that it is working, even
right.
though you feel
right.
like it's not. Because their experience is that they know. You know.
And if you're out there using it now and you're listening to this by chance, you know, it was promised to me that I would have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And they couldn't tell me what that meant because it was beyond, the beyond part.
You couldn't imagine.
I'll tell you right now, I have a kid. I walk into a school, and I have first graders coming up and hugging me and saying, hello, Mr. G, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like, I don't realize it until I leave. Like,
do they say, hello,
me,
Mr.
Right?
OG?
Are you kidding me? I'm BG7510. I've been in the roundhouse. I've been locked up so many times. I've been in nut houses. I've been in treatment facilities. And you know what? That's who I was in my addiction and in my
sickness. Yeah, sure.
Who I am now is a guy that these kids look up to and respect and like. And I have a hard time with that. So, you know what I mean? Like, I enjoy it, but it doesn't hit me until like, oh my God. You know what I mean? I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss what God has given me.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I've shared this before in a lot of ways that that is one of the things that it just is proof of the strength of a recovery and what NAAA and all these fellowships can do. It can take somebody who at one point or another was the, you know, we were the dregs of life. We were the worst of the worst. We felt that way ourselves, and we had people telling us that, right? And we were, nobody would have come near us, right? And then you get into a program of recovery, and next thing you know, you got kids coming up to you, and you're, you know, like, they respect you. Now, if that isn't proof of how recovery and like, you know, a spiritual journey and relying on spiritual principles and being involved in that, if that isn't proof of how that works, then I don't know what it is.
Right.
Steve, too, you know, if you we would have asked you when you first got sober, you know, what your wildest dreams were, I'm sure you wouldn't have said to be loved by a bunch of third graders.
Right.
You know, that wasn't your wildest dream, but it gave you a feeling
right.
that you couldn't have imagined.
And you would have never could have imagined
that's
that being
the beyond. Now, you walk through treatment facilities, right?
Yep, I work in a treatment facility.
And I've gone through as a marketer in my suit and tie, and I see the patients in there. I remember walking down one time, the guy comes, here comes the important guys. I said, excuse me for a second, walk over. I'm like, hey, buddy, I'm just like you, man. I'm just trying to get a day.
I was scared a couple years ago.
I clean up nice, but, like, you know what I mean? I want you to know that, like, I never saw myself in a suit.
Right,
and
I told him that.
I said, you know, believe me, I was right where you were at, and I'm no big shot, believe me. I'm only trying to get a day like you today. And you can do it. And I just want to be the guy that just is optimistic about everybody's recovery. Everybody has a chance. You know what I mean?
What I like is when I get to meet with the patients and, like, they're just coming in. Like, literally sometimes just coming in and, you know, they'll see my symbol all around my neck or something like my necklace. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, are you in the program? I'll be like, yeah. I have almost 6 years. And they're like, really? Like, how does that happen? How do you do it? And then I get to talk to them and then, like, get to see their progress throughout their stay at the rehab. And, like, when they get out and, like, I follow up, I do finances at my rehab. So, like, I follow up with them and, like, to hear that they're still going to meetings and they get 30,
right.
60, 90, mm-hmm. year, you know,
yep.
like, it's just so cool
the
to
miracle.
Be that side of it, to see that miracle happen. And it doesn't always happen. Like, I get to call some parents sometimes and, you know, say, hey, your kid's delinquent on his payment plan or something like that. And she's, I've had a couple of experiences where they said my son passed away.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and like, ouch. So like you get to see like both sides of it, you know, but like, sure. It's just so cool. And like parents saying to me, you've gotten sober, how did you do it? Because I don't know that my kid's ever going to get it. And I said, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and taking a day at a time. You know, like that's all it is. It's just that process. And they're like, well, if you can do it, I'm sure he can get it. You know, just to right. give them that little spark of hope that their kid can get this. You know, like that's my favorite part of being sober is that spark that you get to see in people's eyes.
All aboard!
Yeah,
that means that it's time for yeehaw! An excitement.
The word of the week. It should be a big one tonight.
Well, you know what?
What do you think, Art?
I feel like I'm a teacher. Everybody just started looking at me.
Ginsu knives is the word. Ginsu.
You're in the line.
You know me. I don't like attention anymore. Well, so.
We do things we don't like.
But look, man, I wanted to back up a little, man. I wanted to make a point about this road rage. So picture I had. No, wait a minute.
I was like three hours ago,
till you
bro.
You hear what happened.
Okay. That was before Karen.
All right.
Here we go.
So my buddy's driving home, and he gets pissed off at somebody wouldn't let him off a 95 getting on Woodhaven. He's yelling, screaming, MFing, and all that. Pulls off to Woodhaven and Knights. You know, there's a gas station here, Sunoco gas station. Gets gas. 5 minutes later, he doesn't know how he got back into his car. He got beat up. His eyes closed. His eye is closed. And there's blood all over the front seat of his car. And the police said, would you like me to take you to the hospital? And he said, no, I'd rather go home. And that's what he did. But the point was he got into an argument because of road rage. Pulled into the gas station, got followed, and got hurt. And he doesn't know what happened. I'm talking to him this morning, and I'm thinking, why didn't you call me? Well, I thought I'd be okay. Wow. I said, dude, I was just with you for 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a nice little road rage story.
Well, we gotta go to his...
We gotta do this word of the week. And you know what it is? Yeah, I don't want to cut you off, Steve,
okay.
But... You know, I was just... the word usually comes to me for some reason, but I was thinking about harmony tonight, and it's a different word. And the reason I was thinking about that is, like, I know, you know, most of you is here somewhat, but what I saw develop here was that we were all here for the same reason. And harmony means simultaneously working together. You know, we're in different places. We do different things for a living. You know, but yet we're all still here, and like I feel really comfortable here with everyone. I don't feel better than, less than,
we should change
or
the
anything
theme of
like
the show
that.
To like Recovery Roundtable and do this every week.
I was thinking that
word popped into my head, and every week it pops into my head. Now, get back to you, Steve, on
the
road
rage.
It's a funny one.
Good job,
it's a funny
one.
How long is this going to take? Because we're running out of time.
Early recovery, just cruising along. A little bit of paranoia going on in the beginning.
Just a little bit.
Follow me fast. I get to dance. I take off. I get up to the next red light. Person pulls up me. What do you want? She says, the little triangle and the circle in the back. Are you an AA? Me too, she says. Me too. I said, oh! I'll stick her up as soon as I got.
Good for you. I would never put one on. I mean,
I like that.
Once you get an AA symbol in your car, you have to limit the road rage, though.
Yeah.
Because you have to
isn't
be
that saying pull me over?
Yeah, that's what
right.
I'm
right.
That was like putting that little teen sticker on my kid's license plate. I wasn't doing that either.
No, I hear you.
Well, we have quite a wide array of guests tonight.
Yes, we do.
Probably
this is
fun.
Thank you.
This is really great.
Yeah, thanks for coming, everybody.
No problem.
I'm so glad you did.
And I want to thank everybody one by one. Stevie, thanks for coming out.
Thank you. I love
it. It was great. Well, that's your stuff. Artie, back in the saddle. We're so happy
Artie,
to have
thank
you back.
Thank you.
Back.
Thanks,
you did your usual
thanks, Artie.
Job.
I'm
going
to have to get in here more.
That's right. I was going to rip into a song when he said harmony with the Elton John. Harmony and me.
Thank you for coming.
No, I didn't. I did. I'm sorry, Steve.
That's right. Thanks, Brax. Thanks, Brax.
I mean it. I appreciate it.
Now you come back to me.
Oh, now it's all about you, right?
Nah, I say Katrina's all about
you. I knew you were gonna, you know, when I texted you today, I knew you were going to be here.
I know.
Katrina, is it okay if Stevie talks next time?
Yeah, can you?
That's why we compliment each other.
Or I'm going to have to give him my Ginsu knives.
Can we give you a note to let him talk? Listen.
Right. I'll let him come alone next time.
Okay.
Nah, we want you to.
Whoops.
Wrong one. Howard. Joey Combo, thank you again.
Thank you for having me,
Another
Johnny.
Nice
Joey.
Job.
Thank you.
Ace.
Thank you.
Ace is the play.
Stefan, Stefan, Ace.
Michael, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you
kindly.
Thank you for having me.
For all that you
nice
guys made,
you guys too,
made this show what
yep.
it was.
Johnny
huh?
Reds.
We were talking about this forever, too. Huh? Okay.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
have a moment. Hosting
let's have a moment. Oh,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, let me
have so many
golf moments. Clap for Kenny and Josh.
Let's have a moment.
Golf clap.
Good job, guys.
Thanks for being in service, guys.
Congratulations.
Well, you guys make
we
it possible.
We did callers tonight.
I know.
Yes.
It was
yes.
off the chain.
That was awesome.
I love your idea. I'm thinking about that. I was thinking about
what,
that
the
when we sat down.
Book or
no,
no. The recovery roundtable. Just get
all the people.
A whole bunch of people.
I feel like Howard Stern or something.
Yeah,
no.
yeah.
never mind. I'm going to stop.
What, but anyway, ahead. Back
no,
to...
Gary. I'm going to talk about my ideas on air.
But anyway, back to the moment, John. It's been an honor and a privilege to share all these Monday nights with you, coming early, hanging out, getting to meet people, taking a picture,
getting to meet everybody
you know,
every week.
No kind of
Katrina
no,
made the poster.
No kind of schedule of what we're supposed to do. Everything is ad-lib here. We don't have any kind of process that we follow aside from showing up.
Someone asked me today, why do you do this? The show.
Why not?
Because number one, I love it. We get to hang out, the three of us.
Absolutely.
Maybe more anytime soon.
Stevie, if Katrina says it's okay.
Yeah, we'll have to give her a note.
The boss, guys,
we'll have to give her a note. We'll send her a note.
Listen, I know what we're going to do on Monday night, so my freedom
Woo!
Is coming into
Good.
Play here.
Oh, awesome.
So he can do once in a while. I need him to watch the kids sometimes.
I think I need CCB.
Well, I'm glad
I
we
need
got
something. I don't know
well,
if it's CCB.
I'm glad we know that Stevie won't be
September.
Showing up very
I think
often.
Somebody needs
yeah.
a set of Ginsus.
I'm glad we got that out of
Well, that was
He's
a very
great set of guys.
That was a very tender moment. I remember the first time that I came to you with that after having lunch with Kevin, who is our... What is he to us, Kevin?
Who, Kevin?
Yeah.
Kevin's like my brother.
Yeah, well, yeah, we have a good
yeah,
relationship.
Yeah, yeah. I feel the same way.
That was quite the... I was quite flattered by that. And because of that, I wanted to do a great job. Because I was entrusted with that. I think we've done that. What do you think, Art?
This radio station's come a long way in the last
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
I think it's another outlet, too. Like, you got online meetings, you have regular meetings, and then you can listen here. You know, and if you have a question, you can ask it. And that's another outlet, for especially for, like, the early recovery people, you know? They can
yep.
listen and maybe hear something they need to hear. You know?
Especially
well,
with that that angelic voice you have.
Well, you know, Johnny and I.
Let me get a couple
right?
different aspects.
I went a little too far.
You got a couple
well,
different
you know,
aspects.
Johnny and I spend a lot of time during the course of a week talking about this. Like, what more can we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, to better present, to better. I guess
message.
Carry the message here because there's people dying. It's mm-hmm. an epidemic, and you know we've decided to take this to the street somehow with these fundraisers and organizations that we want to become more involved with.
Yes.
But if you guys ever have any ideas, you know people out there, have them call in. We're open for feedback. We never really know who's listening.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I'm sure that there are people are listening, but we don't know who they are. And maybe they can help us
right.
you know, move to that next level, like we talked about it, right, Artie? Right. Like, how do we get to the next step? I mean, I'm not a radio guy. I mean, I'm a regular guy.
Actually, I think we did good.
I don't know anything
about people who are listening.
I think you just got to really, I think a lot of it is putting it out there. Let people know. Like, always advertise what you're doing.
But then these shows are always all recorded for on demand. That
Right.
I do track from, because I also do the website, so I do track.
Among other things.
Yeah, I have nothing better to do. Right, you can tell how many people are viewing, right?
We can tell how many people are viewing there, and a lot of people will go back and listen to that on-demand library.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Of all the different shows, not only Living Clean and Sober, but Wellness and Recovery,
right.
Solutions.
Right. There's a whole group of us here.
Yeah, there, the Families and Recovery on Friday nights, you know, Living with Scars. There's a lot of different shows, you know, that we have going on. People go and listen on-demand, you know, so... You know, a lot of times when we have a new family, I mean, we tell them to go to the radio station and start, you know, listening to some of the shows because there's a lot of good information that they're going to, you know, get from us.
But well, it's been my pleasure to serve with you for this.
It's been my pleasure to work with you guys for the
last. We made it this far.
Actually, we're a little, little late on our show. It should have been a couple of months ago.
Right.
I am.
Artie would do anything you ask him. He's that kind of guy.
COARadio.com. Sure. We'll have to talk.
What's going on with what's going on with Nancy over there? So.
My buddy will.
We'll discuss.
Yeah, we will. So, in order to wrap it up, I want to thank everybody for making this a success. Thank you for your support. And we're looking forward to the next year.
Yes.
Yes.
How do I get on the Mars
bated
show?
Bated breath and all excitement and all that kind of nonsense.
How do I get on
starts
the Mars show?
Who?
Tomorrow's show with Nancy.
No, this is today. What up?
I know. I
stay
on the
in the moment. Joey Combo, my man. So thanks for listening. I hope we had a great show. I'm really excited.
What's your name?
And we will talk to you same time. Same channel next week. Remember, get busy living or get busy dying.
That's it.
And until next week, be well. Thank you. No, I'm no stranger to the